from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Coming up next on Forum, Creativity Explored has been helping people with developmental disabilities create and sell artwork for 30 years. The studio and gallery is located in the Mission District of San Francisco, and the current exhibit, San Francisco's Calacas, Day of the Dead, celebrates the neighborhood's Latino roots with art inspired by El Día de los Muertos. And we'll talk with the curator of the exhibit, one of the artists it features, and the program's executive director about the power of creative expression for those who may struggle with other forms of communication. That's next on Forum, after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to another hour of this morning's Forum program. Creativity Explored is a nonprofit art studio in San Francisco for the developmentally disabled, and is 30 years old, located in the heart of San Francisco's Mission District, down the street from Mission Dolores. It opened for those with disabilities to create visual art, and it now has a gallery on site featuring six exhibitions each year. The latest and this year's final exhibit is built around artist interpretations of Día de los Muertos, the Day of the Dead, also known as Calacas. Forum producer Judy Campbell and I went to see this exhibit last week, and we want to talk about it in this hour of Forum, as well as find out about the work done by the artists and the staff of Creativity Explored. And joining us in studio is Amy Taub, Executive Director of Creativity Explored. And welcome, Amy Taub.
Hi, Michael. Thank you for having me.
Glad to have you. Also glad to have with us Kevin Roach, who's a studio artist at Creativity Explored. His work is featured in the current exhibit, San Francisco's Calacas, Day of the Dead. Welcome, Kevin.
Thank you.
Also want to welcome Victor Cartagena, who is an artist and visual arts instructor at Creativity Explored. He's co-curator of the current exhibit. Again, that's called San Francisco's Calacas, Day of the Dead. And the exhibit is running through November 24th. And welcome, Victor. Good to have you with us as well.
Gracias.
De nada. Amy Taub, let me begin with you. And a lot of people don't know about you, and that's a shame because, as I said, Judy and I were there, and I was impressed with a lot of what I saw. But let's find out about actually what you do and how you do it. There are about 130 artists, range of styles, range of age too, 22 to 80s. And a lot of people go into this, and I must confess, I suppose to some extent this was my preconception. They think they're going to see art that looks like art created by children. It's not what they see. It's not what we saw.
It's not what they see at all, and that's one of the wonderful things about Creativity Explored. I think that people are really surprised when they get there because of that preconceived notion. And they're blown away by the color, by the activity in the studio. As you saw, it's a 5,500 square foot place with art from the floor to the ceiling. It's two stories, and so that's a lot of art. And on any given day in our larger studio, there are about 60 people creating art. In the smaller studio, there are about 20 people creating art. Through the course of the year, we serve about 130. So there are as many styles and as many forms of expression as there are artists working in the studio.
So busy as a bee type of workshop, and a lot of art is being produced there. But let's talk about what it says on the website you have that you want to, of course, explore creativity and transform people through the kind of creativity that is available to them, but also make human connection. All of that notwithstanding, these are working artists too. I mean, some of them are actually selling and having exhibits.
Some of them are actually selling a lot and are pursuing a career in art. But for everyone that's working in the studio, I think what's really, you know, most important is that they're given the opportunity to really express themselves. I think that people think differently, people perceive differently, often not using words in either the way they process in or process information out. And this gives all people working in the studio the opportunity to express themselves and then connect with another human being through art.
What do we know of those effects? I mean, is there a metric for it? Because when you have to write a funding grant and so forth, you have to talk about, well, productivity in some way or another in terms of the effect it has on people with developmental disabilities.
It's pretty hard to put into a metric and number, but I can tell stories. One of our artist family members, whose artist is on the autism spectrum, and he works very, very small, his sister explained that this is James Miles' way of getting up close and personal with people that he doesn't normally have the opportunity to interact with. He has difficulty forming words that come out in a social relationship. So through the art, he's able to develop a connection, and that connection is important to him.
Amy Taub here with us in studio again is Executive Director of Creativity Explored, and Victor Cartagena is an artist and a visual arts instructor. When you're teaching and working with some of these people with developmental disabilities, Victor, you find a lot of talent, huh?
Definitely. They're really talented. They're really working every day like any other artist with a really strong discipline. They're coming early in the morning, like ready to work, and they really focus during the whole day working.
And that's what I saw. That's what Judy and I saw. I mean, it was real serious concentration and what you would think an artist would want to do, any kind of artist, I mean, in terms of the immersion into the work and being enveloped by the work in some respects. And you came up with the idea of Dia de los Muertos for this exhibit, this present exhibit?
Yeah, yes. As an instructor and part of the staff, we are encouraged to be part and participate in the curatorial process. And then I got the opportunity to present an idea for the next show. Not the next one, but one of the shows. And I presented Dia de los Muertos. And by chance, you know, we are celebrating the 30th anniversary of our organization. And this organization is based in the Mission District, the Spanish community. And that was great to celebrate it with that Spanish tradition, Day of the Dead.
Of course, you walk into the studio and you see all those skulls. You think maybe Halloween is coming upon us.
But this was a really, really interesting for us to work on it, because it was a really line to cross, because they really connected with Halloween in order to avoid to go all the way there. We've been working for almost a year and a half, really making sure that the Day of the Dead is not Halloween.
So the fact is that you have mainly Latino people working and there in the studio? Because of the neighborhood, or just branching out, diverse from all groups?
No,
I saw a lot of Latinos.
We have a lot of presence of our my community, but probably Amy can respond to
30% of our folks are Latino.
Yeah,
they come just like everyone else in San Francisco from all over the world.
Let me go to you, Kevin Roach. Kevin Roach is a studio artist, and his work is featured in the current exhibit. And I know Victor has said very praising things about your work, as others have. Tell us what you do.
We work very, very hard on the Day of the Dead. We didn't rush the thing at all. We took very much patience and a lot of quality, you know, like a lot of, you know, like really focused on. I worked with another woman, a volunteer, and we really focused on the Day of the Dead, because me and Victor, like, I felt that we don't want to lose the Day of the Dead of the culture and the thing of the mission, and that was important to me and Victor and other artists, that it was a thing that is important to have beautiful artwork that's means something to the neighborhood, and I was just, you know, it was like every day it was a joy to do the work. And then when it was put up in the gallery, I just thought, like, people are going to see it, and the joy of everybody, all the artists that were doing it, and even the other students that were not in the doing the artwork, were really loved it. And it's up now, and it's Halloween is coming, and everybody's very, very happy for the holidays are coming. And we're very, very grateful. Our teachers are very patient with us and very good teachers.
Well, you can see some of this work on our website, by the way, kqed.org. We've put some of it up there. And have you always thought of yourself as an artist, Kevin, or did you start doing this after you came to Creativity Explored? How'd you get to be doing what you're doing?
That is a good one. I will tell you a little story. I used to draw. My mother and grandmother and aunts thought it was all right, but my father did not. So I used to hide my artwork under the bed. So it was not a thing. It was the devil's work to do art, my father used to believe.
And
so.
What is your disability?
I'm illiterate and have a nervous problem.
And this has helped?
Oh, completely. This is my whole life.
Yeah.
My art is my whole life.
And that is true, Amy and Victor, for a lot of the artists who come in, or the would-be artists, or the fledgling and developing artists.
Well, the 130 artists, I mean, we have beginning artists, emerging artists, and established artists, but everyone is really focused on the process of developing a serious arts practice. And it takes time. Some of the changes that become evident are immediate. Immediate is defined in, 2 years. But for others, the process is a lot longer, where that identity as artist is assumed, and people are perceived by what they're capable of doing and how they communicate with the world, how they connect with the world. I think connection is a better word than communication. I prefer to use that, I guess. But it's serious art making in a serious, calculated way to teach and to learn. And I think that's what people are surprised about when they first enter the studio, because oftentimes people, along with the preconceived notion that people with developmental disabilities work will look like children's, they also assume that people with disabilities, developmental disabilities, are not capable of learning. And that just isn't true. People do grow as artists. People learn in different ways. People absorb an education and gain different benefits from the process differently, but the outcome is growth as an artist.
We're talking with folks from Creativity Explored, and they help people with developmental disabilities create and sell their artwork. And let's talk about that. They've been doing that for 30 years. I mean, Victor, there are a lot of companies there that license this work, that buy this work now, and it's out there in the world.
Yes, and I assume yes. I'm not really respond to that question, because my roles in the organization is to be an art instructor, and as a teacher, this is my main focus. And what I work with them is basically every day, and I totally no pay attention in their disabilities for things.
You're like many artists. None of that commercial stuff for you, right?
Right. This is my main is to be with them, work with them, and create and enjoy our every day.
Well, Amy, talk about that. I mean, because there are a lot of businesses that, that
sure,
you're linked to now, licenses and so forth.
Yeah. It's out there. We've had a partnership with Crate and Barrel through CB2 for about 5 years. We work with Ricuti Confections in San Francisco. And we invite other companies who are interested in using our art on products that they manufacture and retail. We'd love to develop those partnerships. It's definitely mutually beneficial. The art is great art, and I think that a lot of companies, a lot of businesses are realizing that the partnership is a socially responsible way for them to do business, which is greatly appreciated by their customers.
So, Victor, how, as an art instructor, has this affected your art, which I have seen and admired? I mean, has it led you in different directions, open your eyes in different ways? What?
Totally. Working with them, it's like for me, it's also an opportunity to explore new ideas, experimenting, and sharing with this community. And it's basically it's giving and receiving. It's a great way of teaching and learning. And that's just no question about that.
So it's expanded your own art horizons, personally.
Definitely.
And Kevin, tell us about the work that you have. You have this pattern painting of a woman, a skull, so forth. Describe it for us.
Well, she has two faces. One is a beautiful woman, and then the next one is the skeleton, and then the next thing that she has gold leaf, and then she's. I consider her almost like I love my mother so much that I thought it was a very beautiful thing to draw of her for the Day of the Dead, for my mother's passing or whatever.
So it's a tribute to your mother.
It was a tribute to my mother, yes.
Well, let me open the phone lines. And interested in hearing from listeners about any thoughts you might have about art for those people who have developmental disabilities. You may want to ask questions about the work that's being done by Creativity Explored, which helps people with developmental disabilities make art, and just some of your thoughts about how creativity can actually allow for growth, for what has been described here this morning as communication and connection and all of those kinds of things. But also it has a mercantile and commercial and advantage in terms of many of these artists actually selling their work out there. And there have been those kind of partnerships. And there are more. In fact, I'm reading an email here from Jonathan who writes, it would be worth noting that a similar facility and clientele is operating in Richmond. It's called NIAD, National Institute for Arts and Disabilities. Busloads of disabled people arrive daily and great work is produced. And some of you who have had experience or know of other programs or have actually been to Creativity Explored, we'd like to hear from you. And let me invite you to join the conversation. Our toll-free number is available, and any questions or comments or any ways you'd like to engage in the conversation are welcome. The number is 866-733-6786. Again, we welcome hearing from you, and please feel free to join us now. Toll-free, 866-733-6786. You can also email us, forum@kqed.org, or post any questions or comments on our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on the segment or tweet us. And our Twitter handle is @KQEDForum. And I want to talk about also a lot of Latino listeners and people from Hispanic cultures, the effect and, what particularly excites you or engages you about Dia de los Muertos, because that's what this exhibit is all about, and the art of Dia de los Muertos. It always reminds me of Memento Moris, you know, the remembrance of our mortality. Yorick, I knew him well, you remember, in Hamlet, holding up that skull. Lots of skulls. Also, speaking about mortality, Victor presented me with a framed picture that someone from Creativity Explorer did from a picture of me sitting in front of a microphone with, in my mustache phase. I'm complimented and flattered certainly by this work, and thank you for the gift of presenting it to me. How long did this take, by the way? Do we know?
The piece is by Walter Kresnick. Walter works pretty rapidly, probably an hour. I can't speak to directly because I wasn't watching the piece.
How do you get people to come? Is it mostly outreach or people who come to Creativity Explored? How do they find out about it?
It's a combination of a number of things. I think we're out there now. I think that the public is becoming pretty aware, and a lot of people who have family members with developmental disabilities see us out and about, and if they have a family member who's interested in making art, they approach us about joining the program. But most people are referred by the regional centers. It's the way California is set up, where people with developmental disabilities have a social worker, and the social worker makes the referral to us.
And how often do people come?
Some people have been for over 20 years, and some people started just 5 months ago. It can be a lifelong learning opportunity. Our youngest folks are about 22, and our oldest is in her upper 80s. People work part-time. People work full-time. But we don't we encourage them to develop, an art practice, and that takes a long time. Other people are interested in staying. Other people become interested in doing something different.
Talking about Creativity Explored, helping people with developmental disabilities make art. Amy Talbigan is executive director. Kevin Roach is a studio artist, and his work is featured in the current exhibit, San Francisco's Calacas, Days of the Dead. And Victor Carquena is an artist and visual arts instructor at Creativity Explored. He's also co-curator of this current exhibit, San Francisco's Calacas. And by the way, that exhibit, The Day of the Dead, runs through November 24th at Creativity Explored. It's at San Francisco Mission District. And let me go to some of your emails. A listener writes, I love the choice of Dia de los Muertos. What significance does it hold to you as an artist, and why did you choose to suggest the idea? Is it an important family event? That's to you, Victor. And it's celebrated differently in your home country, El Salvador, than in other countries, of course.
Yeah, definitely. You know, Dia de los Muertos, I'm no historian or cultural anthropologist. I can no feel that I can do justice to the historical root of this celebration of life and death. But I did grow up celebrating the Dia de los Muertos. And I was especially intrigued by the local San Francisco hybrid version of this celebration. In El Salvador, in Mexico, it's a different way of celebrating the Dia de los Dead. It's basically it's a tradition. You honors.
See, ancestors are being honored, really.
Right. And we basically, it's the day that we remember our relatives and get together, go to the cemeteries and have dinners, remember our relatives. But San Francisco, you know, when I came here 27 years ago, I was part of the exploring, you know, a new way of celebrating and being away, being an immigrant away from the cemetery like many other immigrants. I witnessed that people gather in the street and do, you know, like procession, walking procession in order to celebrate the Day of the Dead. And little by little in the past, you know, many years, I can see it's been growing, and I couldn't when I present this idea to the artists at Creativity Explore, I couldn't impose my culture the way I celebrated, we celebrated in our countries, but was more approach for them to see how San Francisco celebrate the Day of the Dead. It's a different approach. And that was the idea, you know, San Francisco Calacas.
And there's a comment on our website, Amy Taub from Andrea, who writes, I saw an article in the Chronicle last Sunday that shared a book that Creativity did the artwork for. Can you tell me more about it?
We just recently produced we licensed some work to be in a cookbook. It's a great little book. It was a collaboration with 25 restaurants in the Mission, and the authors used art from Creativity Explored. The book is $20 and can be picked up in our studio. And proceeds go to Creativity Explored and another nonprofit called Creative Rescue.
You get your funding from a number of different sources, yes?
We do.
Including federal, yeah?
No federal.
No?
We get 70% of our funding is from the state. And then 15% is raised through donations from foundations and individuals. And then the other 15% is from the sale of art, which we split 50-50 with the artist. And then licensing and art services department.
Again, we're talking about Creativity Explored. It's right in San Francisco in the heart of the Mission District and helps people with developmental disabilities make art. And you may want to join our conversation. Toll free, you can do so at 866-733-6786 or email us forum@kqed.org or go right to our website, kqed.org/forum. Click on the segment or tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQEDForum. I'm Michael Krasny. This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. We're talking about helping people with developmental disabilities make art and about Dia de los Muertos. In fact, Creativity Explored has been helping people with developmental disabilities create and sell their artwork for 30 years, and the studio and gallery is located in the Mission District in San Francisco. And the current exhibit, San Francisco's Calacas, Day of the Dead, celebrates the neighborhood's Latino roots with art inspired by El Dia de los Muertos. We're talking with the co-curator of the exhibit, one of the artists it features, and the program's executive director about the power of creative expression for those who may struggle with other forms of communication. Let's go to your calls. Anita, you're our first caller. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. Like you said, I'm in Planita, and I do Dia de los Muertos workshops with the libraries here in San Francisco, primarily with kids and their families. And one thing I found was that as the years passed, I began to actually incorporate opportunities for the kids to draw pictures of their deceased and people who they've lost. And I realized that as adults, we think that kids don't feel grief. But in these workshops, a lot of they've become very cathartic for them and a real forum for them to express their grief. And I'm wondering if, as a society, we think that people with developmental disabilities also don't feel grief, and what this project revealed as far as people's expression of grief, regardless of their developmental capacities.
Well, it's an important question. And Kevin Roach, you were talking about this work you did and the connection you felt to your mother. And I mean, it may have been working out some of your own grieving, yes?
I think children and people with a disability have very deep grief on losing family members. I think it's a very emotional.
Yeah, I think so, too. And I thank the caller. And we'll go to another caller, and that's Jamie. Good morning.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'm an executive director of an organization called Marin Ventures in San Rafael. Hi, Amy. We serve about 100 people with developmental disabilities, and we have a very active art program. Our art instructor sees about 75 of our clients per month. And many of our clients have very significant disabilities where they're very affected physically. And one mother was just saying it's the only time her daughter really has agency over something in her life, and she can sit with the right tools in front of a painting and create and have self-expression in that way. The other thing that I think is important for our clients that we serve is because of the level of their cognitive disability, they have very little opportunities in their lives to create something over time and to see a product emerge that's from themselves and not because someone else is asking them to do it. So that's my comment, and I appreciate this important topic.
And thank you for your comment, and thank you for your appreciation. I'm also inclined to ask you, Amy Taub, about what do you consider a success story? I mean, it's certainly nice when artwork is sold and half goes to the artist and half goes to Creativity Explored, but you measure success in other ways, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, I think what's most important to me when I witness a connection between a viewer and an art maker, that's success. You know, a lot of people at Creativity Explored have difficulty articulating with words and developing a relationship where they're able to really, really share their sensibilities, their experiences, and their past. And through art, they're able to share a personal vision. But what happens when the viewer expresses that appreciation to the artist, it's really beautiful to witness, because it's an opportunity that doesn't always present itself when you have a developmental disability. Oftentimes, society at large doesn't take the time, to really, really understand what's being shared, what's being communicated from one human being to another. And art becomes a vehicle. Art becomes a bridge to make that connection happen in a way that is far more meaningful than an exchange of money, that is far more meaningful than a conversation to me.
Listener named Lauren says, could you please describe what developmental disability means?
Sure. It's a severe and chronic condition. It can be a combination of cognitive and physical disability or both. In the state of California, it's defined as something that a lifelong condition that where the onset is before the age of 18, and it affects a person's ability in the area of self-care, communication, learning, mobility, and an ability to live or work independently.
So if someone comes into Creativity Explored and they say, I have a developmental disability, they don't have to necessarily say what it is or show what it is or prove what it is?
They need to have their eligibility to receive services determined by the regional center, which is how funding is determined in the state of California, and they need to be determined, that eligibility. We don't make those decisions. The regional centers do.
Again, Amy Taub is Executive Director of Creativity Explored. A listener writes on our website, "We discovered Creativity Explored as teens living in the Mission ages ago, and we were floored," capitalized. And we'll get to another call. And we go next to you, Karen. Hi.
Hi. This is wonderful. I just popped into your program, but I wanted to share one of my experiences as an art teacher from quite a while ago. And this is why I'm such a proponent of art in the schools and art for everyone. And especially when you're talking about people with disabilities, I was teaching in a private school where we had a lot of different children integrated into the classroom, including one that was profoundly artistic and one that was profoundly bright and challenged socially because of his high level of intelligence. And in both of those children, I found art to be an incredible outlet for them. Mm-hmm. The autistic child was the one, when we were studying shapes and animals, who drew this incredibly three-dimensional and detailed peacock from memory, unlike anyone else in the classroom, and in all honesty, beyond my skills as a lifelong artist and teacher. And same thing happened with the child who was very bright, socially challenged, and had a very difficult time paying attention in class. He could get into my art class and focus for an hour uninterrupted. It was amazing. So I just wanted to share that with you.
All right. We thank you for that. And sometimes, Victor, do you find that your pupils, your students, maybe get beyond even, as she suggested, beyond something that you had even conceived?
Really interesting when you're working with a specific artist. They don't have the, like I can occur with artists when we are really critical to ourselves, when we are creating through going through the process. We got frustrated, you know, going and trying until we really find what we really like to
trial and
do.
Error.
Yeah. They don't have that kind of problem. They just go and explore and find in a really interesting way. You know.
So how do you help? What's your role as an instructor? What do you do?
Well, I would like to make a comparison. I was talking with Amy yesterday. It's like, you know, like everyone's in my area, it's like professional musicians. They really know how to play his own instruments really well. But they need a conductor. And this is our role as a teacher. They know how to do their work, their paint, their shapes, their lines. But they really need somebody who really be conducting the ideas and helping and providing. And this is my role. We work, we talk ideas, we provide materials and solution, and they basically are the one who determine, you know,
but do you
how
suggest,
far they can
for
go.
Example, various kinds of media for them to work in, or for, I mean, here, this your idea, Dia de los Muertos.
Well, Dia de los Muertos, we've been working for a year and a half, reading, presenting videos, listening poems, music, and talking about, you know, the Day of the Dead from different angles, different opinions. And they really, you know, listen and express themselves the way they perceive all these ideas together. And then is when we provide a good materials, because this is really important. And in our organization, they receive the best quality materials. And that's just a big part of it. And the result is what we have.
And there's a listener who wants to know more about the author and artist Michael Bernard Loggins and his book Fears of Your Life. Excerpts of it were read on This American Life, and it even inspired a dance performance at Yerba Buena Center for the Arts. Is he still involved, Amy, and what's he doing now, do you know?
Michael's no longer officially an artist working in the studio, but he drops in to say hello. Michael's still making lists. He makes lists about everything that's important in his life, everything that he sees. And I hope that he makes the decision to come back and commit to working in the studio again, because his work is pretty incredible. And he has shared his deep feelings with many and has made a big impact on people who have read his work.
Let me read some more comments on our website. Patty writes, first, thank you for the visual arts coverage of any sort. It is rare and much needed. A few points. Creativity Explored and other programs like this get lots of arts coverage because it is a socially responsible way to approach art. That's wonderful that they get the press. However, there are so many more artists and galleries out there struggling in this bad economy to survive. How about talking about this? The Bay Area calls itself an art mecca, and indeed there are many great artists here. However, people don't buy art. They will pay $400 for shoes, yet balk at $300 for a one-of-a-kind original. In L.A., they buy much more art. Well, this has been a subject on forum, and it's not one that we ignore. Let me go to some more of your emails here and read them. Katie writes, I've bought several pieces from Creativity Explored. I have loved everything. I put up an exhibition, some of my collected art from well-known Northern California artists. I include a large piece of Vincent Jackson, a creative artist, a Creativity Explored artist, and it held up extremely well with all the other art. It was, in fact, a favorite of many of the attendees. And Elizabeth writes, Creative Growth in Oakland has a similar program for the disabled. Great art shows, international as well as local. One of the artists has made so much money from the sale of the fabulous art that he and his family decided that since he has made more than enough money for the rest of his life, all the proceeds from future sales will go to Creative Growth. And Nina writes, I've seen Creativity Explored art in public buildings around town. It really seems like a wonderful way to expose people to the artwork. How have you built those relationships with developers to place that work? Amy?
We have a business and marketing, what is her official title? Marketing and Business Development Director named Art Ann Kappas. If anyone's interested, they can call and speak to Ann. We've gone out and made presentations, but most importantly, our art is in the buildings. The art is speaks for itself. It's art of really high merit, and people are often curious where who the artist was, where they work, and how to get in touch with us. And that's the best referral source that we have.
Well, if anyone's interested, your own gallery.
Give us a call. Yeah.
Here's Blair, who writes, I had the pleasure of serving on the board of Creativity Explored and have seen the organization grow over time. A trip to the studio will always improve any day. The joy of the creative process is unbelievable. People always stress the benefit to the studio artists, but equally important is the transformation of the folks that experience the world there. Everyone should make an effort to make a trip to the studio. We'll make a trip to more of your calls. We'll have Julie join us. Good morning.
Good morning. I just wanted to say that I went to Creativity Explored with some friends, just kind of as something to do, and I've collected several pieces throughout the years and gone to a lot of their openings. It seems like a lot of the artists have a theme that they paint, like Wonder Woman, for example, and I can't remember the names of the artists, I'm sorry, but I did buy that, and I gave it to one of my friends who I thought was a Wonder Woman. One of the artists painted clocks, and we have one of his pieces. And I think that going to Creativity Explored is almost better for the person who, the visitor. I've taken my my children, who are now grown, but it helps them learn how to connect with the person with disabilities, and the art really is the vehicle for that. And I think that they learn, as all of us do, that we are more alike than we are different. And that we all have a lot in common. Also, for the other person that called about art in the Bay Area, this art is affordable, and I wish more people would buy art, but I'm happy for Creativity Explored because it is affordable, and it's really wonderful work.
Thank you, Julie. Glad to hear from you. Appreciate your call. Amy Taub, talk about some of the themes you've had. She mentioned clocks and Wonder Woman, and we've talked about Dia de los Muertos, the latest exhibit. What other themes?
Well, I think most of the artists work toward things that they're interested in. Some people have been doing the same theme or a similar theme for many, many years. But each year, we present six exhibitions. Most of the exhibitions are curated by teaching staff, although we have occasionally used outside curators. And we come up with themes that the artists do work of all the time. We've done food. We did a study of the human body. We've done insects. We've done aliens. We've done TV shows. We've done family. We've done abstracts and mark making. We've done shows Contextual was a show with text-based art. So, you know, kind of as many themes as there are artists, and when those themes resonate, we put together an exhibition based on the artist's interests and the curator's interests.
Again, Amy Taub is Executive Director of Creativity Explored, and Susan is our next caller. Susan, welcome.
Yes, I'm an art consultant and a collector at Creativity, and I just wanted to speak to the professionalism of the organization. I've worked on many public space and private space collections with them, and Anne has been incredible in leading me to resources, trying to facilitate, helping put concepts together. In the process, I've collected many, many pieces for myself, and I just think the longevity of the organization speaks to how well they are organized and focused and the kind of terrific work that the teachers are doing with the artists and the results. I'm very impressed. Anyway, that's it.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you for the call. It's 30 years old, but your on-site gallery opened in 2001, I believe. Isn't that right, Amy?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I want to get another caller on here, and we go to Robert in Jenner. Robert, you're on.
Yes. I was calling in reference to, I myself am a working artist, and before I became an artist, I was a chef, and I did an internship at the Ritz-Carlton, and once I made the transition to becoming a working artist, I was kind of taken aback by the lack of classical training of most of the artists that I had witnessed up and down the California coast. And anyhow, it seemed that the deepest artists that that I was meeting and speaking with, they their quest and their and trying to express themselves, it had a profound spiritual element. And I found that those individuals, the manner and the medium in which they worked in, it wasn't so much the expertise of honing their skills. It was more or less a theme or they were trying to elaborate something, but a lot of times their articulation to meet the end results, it was kind of lacking, but they felt that was okay. And so the way I was taught was that when you're going to kind of go about trying to articulate yourself, you should at least you should hone your skills. And that's all the comment I was going
to make. Thank you for the comment. Kevin Roach, you've been working as a working artist how long at Creativity Explored, and how much have you honed your skills?
I think about 8 years. How long has I been? What did you? I didn't hear.
You've been working 8 years at Creativity Explorer?
Yeah, I think so.
What about honing your skills, which that caller brings up? I mean, how much?
What's honed? I don't
you know.
Really
making your skills better and making them improved.
Oh, all the time. I mean, every day we go to school, there's some kind of aspired by our teacher or something that we feel in the morning that we had a dream about or we talked to our teacher about, and then we get into it, and you know, by a couple of hours and then a few days, and then it gets done. And just like metal work or anything, we work on it a few days, but we're aspired to just go right at it, you know, the earlier the better, but then work on what the work has to get done beautifully, and it comes out very nice.
And again, Kevin Roach is a studio artist with Creativity Explored. His work is featured in the current exhibit, San Francisco's Calacas, Day of the Dead. And actually, you can see Kevin's work on our website as well as work of other artists from Creativity Explored. And let me get another caller on. John, that's you. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I was just calling to relate an experience I had with my brother probably 20 years ago when we both had enormous parking ticket bills in San Francisco, and we were offered the opportunity through, I think, a program called Project 20 to volunteer at a variety of places in San Francisco, and we chose to volunteer at Creativity Explored and work off our parking tickets in volunteer hours.
And I'll tell us about the experience.
It was a remarkable, amazing experience. My brother is a trained fine artist. I'm not, but we really enjoyed working with the people there and just. I'm actually trained as a teacher, so it felt like a very like an educational experience for me. And we've actually had a piece of art that we took home from that experience. My wife and I have it framed on our wall, and have had it for 12 years framed on our wall. And
now, wait a minute, you worked off parking tickets by making art?
that sounds like
a pretty good deal to me.
Many, many hours, but it was really, really worth it, and I really appreciate the opportunity that San Francisco gave us at the time, rather than take my car away or pay massive fines that we couldn't afford in our early 20s.
It didn't exactly fall into the category of people with developmental disabilities, though. The parking ticket somehow doesn't. But were you instructing too? What were you doing? Just making art? I'm not clear.
No, we were in a supportive role, kind of like administrative assistant kind of thing, adding value, just helping out, getting things and supporting people who were doing the art at the time. We weren't actually art doing painting or doing anything ourselves.
And your parking tickets have diminished since then, I hope?
Since I've been married for 12 years, my wife has put a very strong regimen on me of limiting my parking tickets.
Just like Gore Vidal said, marriage makes you more docile.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for the call. Good to hear from you, John. And now we'll hear from Jeff in San Jose. Hi, Jeff.
Hi. I think that the use of the holiday, Day of the Dead, is inappropriate. And the reason is for several reasons. One, I think that the holiday is a good idea, but for secular reasons. And all of that is confused by all the ethnocentric self-indulgence that goes on at things like this. It's like a promotion rally for Hispanics, and that's culturally divisive in a culture like ours that depends on cultural diversity and mutual respect. This is exclusively culturally due to the holiday Hispanic. And Hispanic people are alienated by this. They're not. They don't like it, and it hurts the causes that have been portrayed previously.
You're speaking for Hispanic people. Are you Hispanic?
No, I'm a person. I'm a people.
Okay. Let me get a response to your comments from Victor Cartagena.
Actually, I have no response to that.
No response. Okay. Well, we'll leave those comments stand then, Jeff, and thank you for calling. Good to hear from you. Again, the exhibit goes until November 24th, and you can also, I want to remind you, see some of this artwork on our website, kqed.org. And here's a listener who writes on our website, a listener named David, says, can Amy tell the story of how fashion legend and Comme des Garçons founder, Rick Kawakubo, found Creativity Explored artist Dan Michael's work, Michelle's work, I'm sorry about these pronunciations, I'm probably aborting them, and turned it into incredible pieces of clothing?
Sure. We were really thrilled that work by Dan Michaels was used by Ray Kawakubo, part of Comme des Garçons, and it hit the Paris runway in March. Ray became aware of the work when she was looking at Raw Vision, which is a magazine of outsider art. And many, many years ago, we had an exhibition postcard for a show called, I think it was Psychedelic. And she saw the image, the postcard image depicting the subject of the show, fell in love with the work, and had the idea that that was what she wanted to put on fabric for her line of clothing. So we were really excited about that, and so was Dan to realize.
You hit the Paris runway.
Hit the Paris runway with a long stride and haven't looked back.
If people want to go see what's there at your exhibit, tell them how they can do that.
They're welcome to come into the gallery. We're open every day, Monday through Friday from 10 to 3. We stay open till 7 on Thursday, and on Sunday we're open from 12 to 5. And we invite the public in to see not only the show that's in the gallery, but also to come into the studio where we have thousands of pieces of art, some associated with the show theme and others not directly related.
And if people want to get involved in Creativity Explored?
We use a lot of volunteers. You can learn more about that on our website. We have creativityexplored.org. We have a volunteer coordinator who will meet with you and explore your interest in volunteering and see if it's a good match. We're also interested in collaborations with artists in the community. We're interested in developing partnerships with businesses for licensing or for art services. We're interested in your creative ideas about partnerships and collaborations that we may not have perceived. So give us a call.
And
I'd love to talk to you.
Creativity Explored is open for people who have developmental disabilities to come in anytime.
They need to be determined eligible.
I mean, if they're eligible, yes.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
We welcome them. Right now, we're full. But that doesn't mean that a person, we have people who may be leaving, and we could look to see whether we had an available spot at the easel.
You have a waiting list?
Right now, we do have a waiting list.
Yeah. How long is a waiting list?
I don't think it's very long right now, so I encourage people to apply.
It would be a good time.
Yeah, maybe a great time.
Well, the exhibit, San Francisco's Calacas Day of the Dead, runs through the 24th of November at Creativity Explored in San Francisco's Mission District. In fact, could you just give out your address so people can know where you are?
3245 16th. We're on 16th between Dolores and Guerrero, and hope to see you soon.
And as I said, Judy Campbell and I were there. Thank you for having us, and thank you for being with us this hour. Amy Taub, Executive Director of Creativity Explored. Kevin Roach, studio artist. Thank you, Kevin. Victor Cartagena. Thank you, Victor, who is also an artist and a visual art instructor at Creativity Explored and the co-curator of the current exhibit, San Francisco Calacas. We're here with you Monday through Friday, 9 to 11, with an hour repeat at 10 to 11 in the evening, and remind you that you can always let us know what you think about what you hear on forum or would like to hear on forum by emailing us, kqed.org, or going to our website, kqed.org/forum, or our Facebook page. I want to thank our senior editor, Dan Zoll, and our producers, Judy Campbell and Irene Noguchi. Our engagement producer is Amanda Stupai, and our engineer is Danny Bringer. Forum's executive producer is Raul Ramirez. And for all of us here at KQED Public Radio, I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation.